May the 11th, 1989, Marion Zady, interviewing for the oral history of Northville, the Irving and Ethel Ware. Now, Mr. Ware, would you like to tell us a little bit about your family history in Northville?
Okay. My dad and mother came to Northville in the year of 1912. My mother's maiden name was Spaulding and came from Carroll, Michigan. My dad's name was Walter Ware and he came from Gagetown, Michigan. And they moved in here and they first lived up on First Street, up to the old Castile House. That's where I was born. Then my dad bought a lot over on Novi Street and built there where he lived. He built two or three houses there. He used to take Jim Spagnuolo, my dad, Henry Toussaint, worked for years when they was building the old DOR railroad. They worked there. Then my dad got a job working for Huff's Hardware, when they had Huff's Hardware up there. He worked there for a year or two, and my dad and my mother got homesick. And she went back to Carroll, and my dad went back, and then Huff wrote back and said, well, if you come back, I'll give you more money for two. And they come back, and then we stayed there all those years. And Dad was in the hardware business there from 1924 to 29. And then he built that new place down on East Main Street in 1929.
Now, how many, were all the children in the family born here in Northville?
Yeah. I got a brother, Herbert. I got a older sister, Jerry, and a younger sister, Maxine. And my brother and I both graduated from Northville High School. My dad traded a house and lot on Novi Street with his half-brother, Tom Ware, for a farm up by North Adams, by Hillsdale. And my folks, during the Depression, it was tough, and Dad let the stuff slide, and he moved on the farm. Well, my sister Jerry and my younger sister Max, they graduated from North Adams High School up to there.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That'd be in the 30s someplace.
So. Yeah, in the 35, 36, something, 35, something, mm-hmm. 34, during the, there.
That awful depression.
Right. And everybody else suffered there, too.
Right.
And Dad, he had two or three jobs. Bun had the Ford Agency over there.
Right on Main Street.
And there's a Frank Lewis from Salem, a colored fellow there.
Right.
He was there for years. And they had a great big boiler. My dad used to go there at night and fill that boiler up with coal, and he'd go in the morning and pull those clinkers out, even when he's working for Huff for years out there. Yeah.
He took care of that furnace.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, when did your dad build the new building?
1929. He bought there used to be a pool room there, and there's a moth that had a pool room in there, and they had rooms above there. And he bought that old place, and they tore it down. And built that place in 29.
And the building has the family name on it?
Yeah, right in front.
In the day.
I can remember when they tore that old building down, my brother and I and Wayne Thompson and Scotty Strack and a bunch of us used to sit up there in the back, and Dad would give us a file, and we'd stand there with those, sit there in those bricks, and we knocked the cement off the bricks and mortar off the bricks. And they used all those, they reused all those bricks. We sat there for many days and knocked that mortar off.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then right next door is Alexander Flats down there. And right back over they had the Alexander Flats too.
Yes. Now that would be on the west side of your father's store. went back in right. towards...
Well, they had a little place, and then Rube had a Hamburg joint, the same place.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. The first time, this is before the Forest Prohibition. This was before it had come back. My dad had that hardware store. My dad used to sell old Bill Riley. He had a place there, and he used to bootleg it back there.
Had a few of those in Norfolk.
Yeah, and he come in there, and I knew him. I used to wait on him a lot. He'd buy malt, and he'd buy a bottle caps, and he'd buy a camper. And one day, Bud's, Ethel's brother, Bud, we couldn't have been, he was about 13 years old, and I must have been 3 or 4 years older, something like that. But how much difference is there?
Between you and Bud?
Yeah.
About 5 years.
Anyway, Bud says, let's see if we can get a beer there someday. So we go there and knock in the afternoon, knock on the door. No, Ed, Bill Riley, it's pretty nice. Could we have a beer? He didn't know what to do because I used to wait on him. So he says, go in there. So, okay, come in. That place is nice and clean in there. It's beautiful. It's nice in there. And the outside looks like a dump.
Now, where was that located?
That's the Alexander's Flats there.
Oh, right in that building.
The building there. Yeah, just the real estate in the front of it. Oh, Alexander Real Estate. This back room. And go in there and they had pretzels and cheese on the table. And we sat there and ate everything on the table and had one bottle of beer.
Now, about how old were you and Bud then?
I couldn't have been over. Bud must have been about 11 or 12.
Oh, no, he must have been older than that.
Wasn't very old.
You were pretty young, anyhow.
We didn't come here until Bud was 11.
Oh. Well, I was 14 there, 26, that'd be 12 years old. I put her about 16 or 17, and Bud was 12 or 13.
Yeah, right.
And we left the place, and Bud says, that's pretty good, but this about a month later, he says, let's try to get another beer. We go over there, and he wouldn't let us in.
Once was enough. You were too expensive
right.
eating all those
yeah,
pretzels.
My dad had the hardware store from 1924 to 29 on the corner where the old record office is now. Across the street used to be the old Ambler Hotel.
Yes.
And between the Ambler Hotel and Ed Perrin had a taxi cab and stuff. And right between there, the incline down there, and they had public restrooms there.
Oh.
And that was nice down there. That's
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. And then they had that Ambler Hotel, and on the north side, facing the hardware store, they made 2 or 3 business there. And there's a fellow by the name of McClintock's had a jewelry store there.
Oh.
They had one daughter. The father and mother, they contacted TB. They ended up in the Mayberry Sanitarium. The daughter went and lived to Humphreys. Marie Humphrey
yes.
for years after they were there.
I remember the Humphrey
yeah.
family.
Mm-hmm. Years ago there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old Blake had that Jewish store there, and I knew him well, and this is during the Depression, and that graduated in 1934. I graduated in 33. I had written to Forbes. I went in there and I bought her a watch for graduation, $17.
Boy, was she worth it? I'll tell you.
And her folks didn't like it very well, and the watch didn't run very good. I took that watch back, and old man Blake, he says, well, I'll allow you $17 if you buy another watch. So I picked out a Elgin watch. It cost me $34.
Classy.
And she gave that to her, and she still got that watch today. She
oh,
had it there.
Oh,
and,
that's neat. That is
yeah,
really
a,
good.
And him and his brother said, I could see those guys sitting
the two together
right there. And there's another time, I'll tell you, this Saturday, isn't it?
Yep.
Over the old Charlie Friedle, Dad's father, old Bruno Friedle.
Yes.
They had a cleaning stuff there, and I could still see old Bruno go up there, and he had a great big table. They used to sew, do all their sewing stuff, and I could still see Bruno sitting there on the table, cross-legged. And he'd had his glasses down here, and he'd be sewing or stuff there. I can remember that going in there. And the old Bruno, I always liked that there.
Yes, he was a good tailor, yeah. And did really good work on those things.
Then right down next to the hardware store, there was Lou Cole's Beer Garden.
Yes.
Then they had
a wooden building.
Yeah. Then they used to, where the bank is now, used to be a hotel, Merritt Hotel.
On the corner. We couldn't remember the name
Merritt
of that
Hotel.
The other day.
And we used to take, they had a dining room, then they used to have the tables all set in this family style. When you go in there, that's Dad used to go there when he played ball from Holly. And they come here and they'd change their clothes down there, the old Merritt Hotel. Then they tore that down. Then Al Zimmer had a automobile place there.
Right.
Then they had a gas station there on the corner.
Yeah.
Then
Al Zimmer's place then became Miller's Garage in later years, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I think Seymour Orr worked at that gas station.
No, that was the other one. That was on North Center Street.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Maybe. But they had a gas station.
Right on that corner.
Yeah, I know they had the gas station.
Yeah.
And then this Merritt had that Cowell House on Main Street there, and he had the same thing there.
Used across to, the street.
Yeah,
yes.
The hardware store there.
Yes.
Next to, there used to be the where Marion, she married the Modus.
Oh, Larson.
Larson. They lived above there, and then below they had a feed store and stuff like that, and this place was right next to it.
Yes. I think Mrs. Green used to run the restaurant in there, and in that old hotel, you know, in the Merritt Hotel.
I remember that, but we used to go there and eat, and it'd be all beautiful, that big table, and they had all the white tablecloth. There used to be quite a place there.
That was dining out
yeah.
for a little town in Northville.
Right.
Yeah.
But then at one time, Lynchburgers had a blacksmith right there for stuff there.
At Hutton in Maine. That's right.
And then on the corner, the people named by Henry.
Not Dr. Henry, was it?
Well, I think there's some relation there.
Oh.
They had a boy, Bud Henry, and they lived there.
Irv, tell us about that club that was up over the Gamble store.
Oh, I didn't know too much about it, but it was above the Gamble store, and the Young Republican had it. But we used to take and go over to play, we'd be playing over at John Walker's pool, and play pool and stuff. And the guy said, well, let's go up the Republican cards and play hearts or something like that. And we go up there, and man, they get playing at Hart, sir. I can remember Pussy Weston.
Right.
They'd lay for him, and man, you line up, and you'd have to bend over, and you go up there with your hand, and you swat him.
Was that for losing?
Yeah, they'd bring cheers in old Pussy's ear. You go up there and play cards a lot up there.
And there was a dance floor up there also in that place, or not?
They could have been, because they had a big room up there.
But it was a meeting. And yeah. You don't recall that it was ever called the Young Men's Club.
I don't remember that, but
it was a Republican. Yeah. Well, of course, of 90% of Northville was Republican,
right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's right. Your dad had the hardware store during the Depression. Do you remember of anything about the scrip paper money that was issued?
Right, Dad used to get a lot of scrip there, and most of the script was people that worked for the city of Detroit. And there used to be a lot of people around there. They used to get tripped. But my wife's dad, father, worked at the House of Correction. He used to get paid your script.
Yeah, and there was a grocery store that accepted it.
Stevens.
It wasn't Stevens then.
EMB was one.
Bogart
would accept it.
Then.
But what did you, now, then your father would take the money he took in and buy groceries with it?
I think that's what he did. Used to go to Bogart's there and take that. But they used to be able to redeem it someplace.
Well, not until later.
But it didn't amount to much. People who had it eventually, was what I was told, threw it away.
Ethel's folks had a, Ethel's mother had a brother, worked for the city of Detroit, and he used to come out here and give her money, and he'd take the script back and then get rid of it down
and
there.
And could use it in Detroit. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
And then,
It's so many people today have never heard of the script. You mentioned it. What do you mean, paper money? But now my father, as did two of his brothers, worked for the Wayne County Training School, and my father got paid half in script and half in money. So then you'd use the script for people. I think Butch Baldwin would take it for rent money, you know, in those days. Yeah. So you got by who would take it and who wouldn't.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it was.
How it worked out.
This town there back used to have a lot of stores. You had Meat Market, Butch Baldwin. They had
Hill's Meat Market.
And they had Sam Pickard. They had three or four car agencies, Rathburn's, Mars, or Bunds. And they had old Studebaker down there, Petz's.
Yeah.
And one time, Vanetta.
No.
I think it was...
I know who you mean.
Richardson had the Packards over here.
Right.
And and they had three or four hardware stores, three or four grocery stores. They had half a dozen or so gas stations and all that stuff. But all that's gone now.
We had more businesses in Northville than we do today.
Yeah.
That's strange when you think about that. Another thing, Irv, can you tell us about anything about the old Ambler Pond and where it was located?
Okay, the Ambler Pond was down there, just north of the cemetery, right next to Langfield's chemical laboratory there.
Right.
And Hills had a slaughterhouse on there too. Hill's brothers had a slaughterhouse
from the meat market.
Meat market there. And they used to go there and skate and everything there. And there's pretty good rumors. At one time, there's a fellow in town. He took some dynamite, put it on a board, and he blew it up, and he didn't do a good job, and then he went back later on and did it another time. And that's when the Ambler Pond disappeared. They never built it back. But years after that, the kids around that neighborhood used to play over there.
I remember climbing up that dam, sitting on the top of it. But what happened to all that water then?
Well, it just had a...
Went down the creek.
All the way down.
Yeah, and followed through there.
And the Ambler Pond, Hill's Meat Market had a slaughterhouse up there by the pond on the south side. And they used to slaughter horses, cattle up there, and animals like that, goats, sheep, really. And they was up there for years. But they talk about swimming down there. Our Hill, he was quite a character.
Good-looking man.
Remember Peggy Blake?
Oh, yes.
Peggy Blake and some of those girls, they went skinny-dipping down there one day. And our Hill... And on Fairbrook, there used to be some people named Shepherds.
Remember?
There's Violet Shepherd, And they had two boys, Louis Shepherd and another boy.
Chuck, yeah.
And their dad had a garage here, your garage here. Art, he owned a couple of Shepherd boys. Seen those girls down there, he went and stole their clothes.
I wonder how they got home.
I don't know, but...
That's a good one, that's a good one. Do you remember any of the stories about the Halloween pranks that used to play?
Well, I can remember going to school, I was younger then, but they had a four-wheel buggy on the top of the flagpole and on the crow's nest, and four or five or half a dozen stores on Main Street, they had an outhouse right in front of the store. You had to remember that.
Must have taken all night to work on those projects.
And then you said about greasing the tracks. We used to caddy at the Middlebrook Country Club, and we used to get $1.35 for 18 holes, and we got 15 cents for car fare. The fellows from Plymouth got a quarter, and the fellows from Farmington got a quarter. They used to come from Plymouth, and they'd get a bunch of guys down in Bealtown. They'd come up from the Four Corners, a bunch of guys from Orchard Heights and stuff. Then they come down to the overhead bridge in the north side to get on there. And a lot of times there'd be so many kids on there going to the golf links that we rode out there a lot of times. It didn't cost us because the conductor couldn't check. But right to the foot down there, the cemetery there, that used to be quite a lot worse than it is now. It used to be pretty steep. And those guys know that's coming there. They go and grease that track.
Oh.
And then somebody on that car know it, and they'd ring the bell at the foot of the hill, and they get off, and the guys couldn't get going. And I've seen the conductors go out there and wipe the track and throw sand and stuff on many times.
Trying to get going again.
Yeah.
Now that was pretty good pay for young fellows to make out there at Meadowbrook.
That was pretty cheap compared to where they are now.
Yeah,
You know how much they get for 18 holes now? $14, $16 for 18 holes.
Is that right?
And remember, are you recording this?
Yeah.
I can remember one time we was coming from Golf Links. We worked a caddy out there all day Sunday. I caddied for some golfer. He's a guest from out there, from Ohio. I caddied all day for him. And he gave me a $10 bill. And we was all coming home, walking down there, and we was playing with our money. And this is a brand new $10 bill, and I played around. And there's three of them. I got $30, and that was a lot of money. I ain't kidding you.
That's a good
but
day's work.
Where we used to spend our money all the time, we'd go out there and caddy. Then we'd head for Wall Lake. The amusement park was open every night except Monday. And that's where we'd head in the evening.
Oh, good time. Now, would you walk out there?
At the golf links?
Yeah, from the golf links to Wall Lake.
Well, no, some guys had a car or something.
Yeah, you'd get a ride.
I walked a few times, but that was when I was real small. My dad worked for Huff, and Jim Huff had a cottage over there on the south side of Wall Lake. And Dad used to, when it's slow, he'd have to go there and paint and do this. And many times, my dad and mother push a wheelbarrow, a baby buggy from here to Wall Lake.
Now that's a good walk, isn't it? But people back then weren't afraid to walk.
And my sister, Jerry, was married after Geraldine Huff.
Yes.
My dad.
Yeah. And Geraldine taught in Northville schools later on. I had her for a teacher. Yeah. That's a good one.
When we was kids, we used to play out to Curtis Lake. We said, no, we didn't swim out there. But we used to go there toward the gravel pit. We used to go by there, and we'd see a lot of skeletons of horses. And there's some fella in town, he had a delivery service, ice and stuff, and he'd get a bad horse that was almost dead. this fella would go over there and he'd shoot it. And there used to be a lot of skeletons used to over there. And we see them there.
You didn't sell them the meat, though.
No, just see whether they
killed. Just leave them out there so he didn't have to bury him.
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
He knew who that guy was. One time at Halloween time, there's a, should I mention the name, Roberts?
No, don't mention the name.
Some people lived on the corner of Lake Street and Gray Street. And they had an outhouse. And every year that outhouse was tipped over. Anyway, one night, we all down there, and there's 21 of us got arrested. Five or six of them was over 21. And the first guy gets up in front of the judge here, says, was this guy here? And everybody says, no, they lied.
Who was the judge, do you remember?
I think it's old Roberts, that other, Wilmington Roberts or something.
Was the judge. And who was the policeman who arrested you?
I think Safford.
Safford.
Anyway, they had 21 of us, and the four or five was over 21. And if they got there, they'd get some time out of it. So the first guy come up there, they asked the guy, was he there? And this guy says, no. And you either had to take and lie or cause a lot of trouble. So everybody says, no, he wasn't there. So those five guys is over the age. They wasn't there. Anyway, it's Robert Reed, Charles Carrington, myself, Bill Springer. Anyway, there's six of us. Says we appealed the case, but Charlie Carrington and Bill Springer and Robert Reed. Pleaded guilty.
Is this the true story?
Yes.
Because that's not the way I ever heard it.
Good for you, Ethel. What did you hear, Ethel?
Charlie Carrington's mother got up there and she cried, you're not going to send my boy to jail. So she paid the fine. It's $10 fine and $5 cost. Bill Springer, my dad, let him take some money. He had $2. My dad spent the rest of it. And somebody paid Bob Reed. I don't know who it was, but somebody. But anyway, it left
Bob
six Reed. Of us left. Yeah. So we appealed the case. They got a fellow, a lawyer by the name of Vining from Plymouth come over. They took it down to Detroit court down there. We all went down there, and the lawyer went in and talked to the judge and come out. The judge threw it out. It cost my dad $18 because he put $10 of mine and he put $8 towards one of the other guys.
Your brother wasn't in on this.
The thing that you left out was that you weren't in on it because you six guys were standing on the corner watching the other guys do it.
And Wilma Roberts knew us.
Oh,
but
and she's seen you.
I can remember Mrs. Carriage getting up there and she was not going to send my boy up there.
I've heard this story so much and he left out that part. I don't know.
I like that. See, what happened then, you younger boys were going to take the blame so the older ones wouldn't go to jail.
And they went to down Detroit and the judge threw it out.
Good.
There's an outhouse tipped over on Randolph Street, and the guy owned it was Pierce Marsh. He was a Smet man.
Yes.
And he'd come up to school on a Monday, and we got called in Mr. Ammon's office, five or six of us. And he says, if you boys are going to put that thing back on the foundation, I wasn't charged. So, okay. Sam Lawrence is one of them. I was one of them. And there's three or four other guys. Sam Lawrence got his dad's old big Buick. Went down there and hooked a rope on it. He pulled up the hill and put it back up.
So it didn't cost you anything that
no.
time. That's good.
At one time, years ago on
Randolph,
where Roy Vanetta used to live, they used to have motorcycle hill climbs there. And I can remember going up there and you could hear that all over town. It only lasted a couple of years, but they had hill climbs there.
That was pretty steep hill there that goes up to that subdivision now, up to...
Up around
there. Yes, yeah. And did Vanetta have them, or was it just happened to be behind his home?
Well, if it wasn't there, it's just back there. That hill up there.
Yeah, not too many houses built.
No, there wasn't very many hills. Millers lived up there at that time, yeah. George Miller and them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had hill climbing there.
Yeah.
I had my dad, before he worked in the hardware store for Hop, he had a little delivery service. He had one horse. In the wintertime, he had a sled. In the summertime, he had a little wagon. He used to peddle, deliver groceries for Old Wheeler's grocery store, and there's a meat market there. And he had a helper. It is one of those elders that lived on Griswold Street. It is a brother to Russ Elder and Chester Elder, and I didn't know him myself. But he helped my dad. And at that time, they had their old interurban go down through there.
On Griswold.
On Griswold, that way. And Dad told me this, but I never could confirm it. But I believe my dad what he told me.
Of course.
This kid was running across the river, and he got hit by the interurban, and he got killed.
Oh,
this is back in 11, 13 or something.
Yeah,
14 or something. And after that, Dad sold it there, and he got out of the business. But there's one of the elder boys got killed right down there.
Just crossing over in front of the interurban.
The urban right in front of the house.
Oh.
But,
No, I had not heard a story like that. You know, you always think of the good things that the interurban did, but I suppose they had their accidents then,
just like
we do today. Yeah. And Ethel, it's certainly been a pleasure to be here today talking to you about the old history of Norfolk and about your family. And if there's anything else that you think you could add to it, I'd be happy for you to tell it to us.
Well, I don't know right now offhand, but it's been a pleasure to do this. It brings a lot of the old memories back.
And a great deal of the pleasure's been sitting here talking to you when we had the machine off.
Right. I sure enjoyed it.
Well, we certainly thank you, and the Norfolk Historical Society will certainly appreciate having your input into the oral history of Norfolk, and thank both of you very much.
You know that.
You're welcome.
You know that.